Blog Talk Radio.
Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. It's time for the clarion call.
And there is a question that we all have to answer, posed by Shekinah Glory. And the title of that song is simply called Yes. And it is the question that we all have to answer as believers. Are we willing to say yes to the will of the Lord? We thank you very much for joining us today. This is the Clarion Call broadcast as we are broadcasting to you here on the WRTS-FM radio platform. You also will hear this show on WIGO AM 1570 in Atlanta. For those of you who are in this area, you will hear this broadcast there as well. And I want to thank you all for joining us. Oh, Lord have mercy. That was an unexpected interruption. We just want to thank everybody again for joining us and for tuning in to the broadcast. It's certainly a great honor and privilege to come before you with a broadcast, and we thank God for the ability to do so and for allowing me to just be here and join you here as we meditate together a little bit on the Word of God. We also thank the Lord for allowing me to come back on what we like to refer to as prime time. That's the special time between 7 and 11 that most people seem to be best able to listen to the broadcast live, that is. Of course, those of you who are listening to WIGO are probably listening to this on a morning broadcast. So, but again, we thank God for those who are listening via the internet or by the live phone number, which I will repeat right now, the live phone number to call in to listen to the broadcast, actually. That's right. You can listen to it on your phone, 347-838-8767. Again, if you wish to listen to the broadcast Tuesday night live, 9 p.m., you can go ahead and listen on your phone, 347-838-8767. In case you have to go away from your computer, you can still check us out. I'm going to go into another brief musical interlude here, and then we're going to come back and pray and see what the Lord has brought for us today as we're going to talk a little bit about making ourselves ready, having a ready mind to do the things of God. And we'll be back in just a moment.
I got
again in you.
That is the big key to serving the Lord. You must have confidence. And that is Tasha Cobb, Stellar Award winner. That song, Confidence, coming from her album simply entitled Grace. And that album certainly took the gospel music and music in general by storm. A young lady here that sang in, I don't use the word necessarily backup, but I guess you say the backup choir to William Murphy III, who everybody knows for his great Praises What I Do that he recorded probably about maybe 7-8 years ago. But anyway, Tasha has been singing along with him, and she went solo, and she hit the ground with a explosive bang. Most people know her for the song that she is most well known for. Dealing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, now that I'm trying to remember the name of the song, I can't remember it at this time. It certainly has taken the gospel music world by storm, and this entire album is one. If you don't have it, please, and you have the funds to do so, you can download it from iTunes. You can go and actually get the copy of the album itself in the stores. But it's a tremendous album. Tasha Cobb, and the name of the album is called Grace. For those of you who just maybe tuning into the broadcast, you're listening to the Clarion Call as we broadcast to you live on Tuesday nights on WRTS-FM. It is the radio station is located on blogtalkradio.com. So again, to find us, blogtalkradio.com/WRTS-FM. That's also our website is WRTSFM.com. And, of course, for those who are listening in the Atlanta area, you're listening to WIGO AM 1570, Atlanta's Incredible Radio. Well, before we go into our topic, we're going to briefly go into a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are great and greatly to be praised. And besides thee, there is no other God. We thank you, Lord God, that even though you are mighty Yahweh, maker of heaven and the earth, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because we accepted him as our personal Savior and repented of our sins, that we can now call you Father. And we thank God that you hear our prayers. And we ask you, Lord, now to hear this prayer as we go before the people who are listening to this broadcast, either live or via archive, that you open up their ears and hearts so they might receive your word. And, Father, most of all, that you will give me an ability to bring the word forward in clarity, but always under the great anointing of your Holy Spirit, which has great power. And we ask you for all these blessings in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus who is the Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, the topic tonight is dealing simply with the topic called being ready. Being ready. And I'll read the official topic for you right now, so if you want to write it down, you can. I'm not a big person that says, hey, you got to write this down. If the Lord leads you to do so, certainly you can do it. But again, for something to write down, the name of the title tonight is, I can find it in just a minute here. My mind is, it's evidently not all it should be tonight. But we thank God anyway that we will proceed. Again, we're dealing with the whole aspect of being ready to serve God. That's really our key tonight, being ready to serve God. And what you will find is that as we make ourselves ready, that is really the key to serving God, is having a ready mind. And that's basically, again, the title for tonight. Sorry it took me a while to unlock my brain, but it's get your mind ready to serve. And basically it's going to be a brief look, operative word there, brief look at the importance of having our minds ready to do what God asks and often requires us to do. And our scripture foundation is found in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 11 through 12. And let's go now and pull those up so we can read them together. Again, it's 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 11 and 12. And let's all go and find that together so we might read it together. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter, verse 11 through 12. And what I'll do is I'll read it from both the King James Version, which is the one that I've leaned on the most, but I'm also going to read it from one of the plain English versions, so we hopefully can get a really good understanding of what the Lord is telling us here in about being ready. And here it is. It reads as follows. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. I'm going to read that in a plain English version. It's a New American Standard Version that reads as follows, starting with verse 11. It says, but now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. All right, first, I'll give you some context of with this scripture and why this is important to understand about the readiness. Paul is talking to the people of Corinth, and he's explaining to them about the aspect of giving, and he has used the example of the Macedonians. And he talked about how the Macedonians gave to the people that needed it out of their lack. The situation had developed within Jerusalem that there had been a famine that had struck the Jerusalem area. Now Paul is going to the Greek church and asking for them to send aid back to their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And the Macedonians were people who at that time were quite impoverished. And Paul lauded them for their ability to, in spite of their affliction, I'll read it from the 2 Corinthians 8, chapter, verse 2. Paul says this way, he said that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, okay, begging us with much urging for the favor a participation in the support of the saints. Wow. I mean, what kind of testimony is that for a leader of God's people to say of you that you were so overjoyed with the aspect of giving to those people in need that you gave out of your own lack and actually begged to be a part of the group of people that were willing to give to those in need. That's powerful. The key is when you're giving, is you want to have this mindset. You want to have a joy in doing it, number one. And number two, you want to be able to give not because of psychological trickery, which, sad to say, from time to time in the pulpit, I think that has gone on where we try to somehow use psychological ploys and gamesmanship to get people to give. That's not what giving is about. Giving is, it should come from a spot in your heart and mind also to have an urgency in giving. And I'm telling you this because this is something that I myself struggle with. Idea of giving when you don't have to give. This idea of giving when, you know, your money's funny. It's a difficult thing. I mean, it's a difficult thing because you're thinking, how am I going to make it? That's what you're thinking. You're thinking, how am I going to get to this next level? you know, how am I going to be able to sustain myself if I'm giving from out of my need? Well, again, the key is to follow the scriptures. And the scriptures indicate that we give according to what we have. Paul said, I'm not asking you to give what you don't have. I'm asking you to give what you have. And so you say, brother, would you say that we're supposed to give out of our need as the Lord leads? Because, again, the operative thing here is that you want to be in a situation where you're giving gladly, not by force, not by guilt. You don't want a situation where you're giving to God because you feel guilty. You want to give to God because it's something that you are excited that you're led to do. Let me read it out of the next chapter as he continues to talk to the Corinthians. And this is what it says here, starting with 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 6 and 7 in kind of a plain English version. It says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Amen. What Paul is saying here in this context is simply give. I know a lot of people like to use a flip term, give till it hurts. There's some truth in that, but it's something where you don't want to feel, again, compelled. Remember Paul said, don't do this under compulsion. Okay, he said, why? He said, because God loves a cheerful giver. He said this way back in the Old Testament. He told Moses to take an offering of the people of Israel, every man who is willing. If you're not willing, you might as well keep the money in your pocket. And that's why, I mean, you know, the terms that Paul used of what I just read is overused about the sowing and reaping. As a matter of fact, I turn on my television at night because oftentimes I'm not able to sleep. And it is ironic to me that there are a couple of stations, two well-known stations, that from about 11 o'clock on, you would think that these two particular churches or Christendom in general has somehow sprung a leak on their coffers, because every single night there is a whole program devoted to sowing a seed, an unusual seed, and telling stories of people getting checks and people getting money and people getting suits and cars. Okay, don't get me wrong. The Lord, in fact, is a great blesser, and he blesses us over and abundantly all that we could ever think to ask of him. So I certainly don't want to poo-poo or to diminish the fact that God blesses us materially. He's blessed me that way. He's done unbelievable things. And I'm sure those of you who are listening can give the same testimonies. However, that can't be the overarching reason for giving. The giving is, it's really, we want to get to a mindset of service, a mindset to line up our mind and our thinking the way God thinks, which is to always be about helping people. And what God says, as we grow in this, God says that if we do this, that there is a blessing that's going to come. In other words, God does not ask us to do something and says, well, there's no benefit in it for us. That's not how God operates. What he's telling us is that we have to have a change of mind, a change of heart, and it has to be about service. I'm going to go to one of my favorite scriptures here. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and it really hammers that point home here. And for those of you who are, you know, Bible study people, as soon as I begin to read it, you're going to know right away. Matter of fact, many of you can probably quote it back to me verse by verse. This is what it says in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, starting with verse 3. And again, I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Version so we can hopefully understand it very easily. People now speaking to God, says, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? And the Lord answers them back, behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all of your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. And now the Lord asks a question of the people. He said, is this a fast like this, which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring your homeless poor into the house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? And I'll talk about that in just a second. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily bring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee. That is a scripture I like very much, and it deals with me all the time, especially the one about hide not yourself from your own flesh. Because I don't know about a lot of people out there listening, but you know, from time to time, I don't get along with my family the way I should. You know, sometimes, you know, we're all grown, and sometimes family does things to, you know, almost like chalk writing on the chalkboard. And here's the thing now. The realities are that sometimes I'm like that with them. Even though I don't want to admit it, there are times where I say things in a way or do things in a way where they say, I'm about fed up with my big brother. But the scripture is telling us, and again, it's something I'm learning, even at my advanced age, that you have to press in with the love of God. You have to ask the Lord to give you patience to deal with the untowards, to deal with those who basically make your head pop off. And it's hard. But the Lord gave us a promise. He said, if you do this, he said, my glory will be your rear guard. Now, basically in modern day English, the Lord is saying, if you are willing to handle my business and outreaching the people, my glory will have your back. Doesn't get much better than that. Everybody talks, oh, Lord, we sing songs. Let your glory fill this place. Well, we'll tell you how to do it. He said, Lord, how we're going to do it is we're going to have to reach those who are in need and to show ourselves towards those people when they are in need. And like I say, again, it's hard. I mean, it's something that, you know, every time I think I have this down, I think, okay, I'm growing, and then I look at myself and go, oh, darn it. And it just seems like I took a couple of steps forward and now we've taken a few steps backwards dealing with these things. But that's why the scripture is here. It's for our reproof. It's for our correction. It's for our inspiration. It's to show us that these things can be done. The scriptures tell us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we read about the grace of God, he's talking about being able to do these things. That's what Paul talking about, having the grace of God, his favor upon us, to be able to have a change of mind towards people, to be willing to, quote-unquote, sow a seed into the needs of people, okay? A lot of times, again, I'm not trying to slam ministries. I know it takes money to run a ministry. I'm aware of that. I understand that, especially if you talk about I'm on TV and we're doing broadcasting at people. All that takes funds. Even for me to come on this station at this time, it costs money. It's not free. It's not free. But at the end of the day, in this context, and most of the time when the Lord is talking about sowing and reaping, he's talking about sowing directly into the needs of people. Okay, because to be very candid, there are some ministries that really have to do what I've heard some very large ministries do from time to time. A few years ago, one ministry announced to people, listen, we're getting off the air. And I was stunned because it was they had a great ministry, great teaching, but the pastor said it's becoming basically a burden. It's becoming too expensive. And he determined that the Lord was not wanting them to take their funds and having to have them consumed on TV ministry. We know we have to propagate the gospel, but the main way that we really go out and reach the people is how we treat them, how we minister to the needs of people. It's just, you know, something we don't want to deal with because it's hard, it's gritty. I mean, like I tell people, very few people, I shouldn't say that, the average person is not that excited about volunteering for the infantry. Most of us, if we have any kind of sense, or if we had good education, we would say, let me go to officer training school. Or I know me, I'm a big techie buff. If I could possibly do it, I would be excited about flying a plane versus saying I want to be a Marine, especially a private, because those guys are kind of the guys, the first responders. They're the people that are in the mud, the slop, fouled at the enemy's gunships and guns at the closest distance. And those are the guys that usually have to give all, including oftentimes their lives, to further the armies. So most of us don't want to deal with that. Me too, because that's hard, that's gritty, that's tough, that's demanding. Oftentimes the battle is won in inches and in feet, not in miles or in yards. And often it requires days and months, not minutes and hours, to win the battle. So it's very difficult. But the Lord has given us a promise. He said, if you're wanting to do this, he said, then you're a light. You know, because all of us are seeking to be a shining light for the Lord. Those of us who are believers, we're seeking to, again, have the glory of the Lord be upon us. But the Lord said, here's how it operates. He said, if you are doing these things, he said, then I'm going to cause your light. It's going to break out like the dawn. And you think about how the sunrise looks early in the morning. Powerful that is to see the sun come up and all of a sudden the darkness is scattered. He said that's how our lives will be seen. There'll be the light breaking the dawn. He said our recovery when we're ill will break forth quickly and our righteousness will go before us, and then the big key, the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. Well, as always, the time has rapidly come to a conclusion. We thank those who have tuned in to listen to this broadcast tonight. We again will encourage those people who are listening to this broadcast to want to really feel the love of God in their lives. People who are looking for a change, looking to feel this love of God, looking to want to be an impact in their lives. If you want to know God, you need to know him through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. You have to repent. And I know people like this tell you is about saying a few words, and basically it is, but you have to repent and admit that the way you've been living, I don't care if you're a real nice person or the scourge of the earth, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You must repent and come to Christ and let his blood, his ultimate sacrifice, and his total righteousness cover you so that you might be able to do as he does, call God your Father. I say to you, please, ma'am, sir, man, woman, boy, child, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to get to know him because he loves you more than anyone, your mother, your father, grandma, auntie, and them. Well, listen, we thank you again for tuning in to our broadcast. We leave you now with Casting Crowns, simply saying that God will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. And on this evening, I leave you as I do each and every week when I sign off. God bless you. And good night. You know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, time and time again, your truth is